ladies and gentlemen. Adequate notice of this meeting, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 7, 2019, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office, on the bulletin board in the Roosevelt Post Office, and in the Borough Hall. And this meeting today is May 28, 2019. And the notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Here.
Mr. Dermody?
Here.
Mr. Ethicoff?
Here.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mr. Vroman?
Here.
Mayor Malkin?
Here. Do you want to make a motion, Mike?
Oh, yeah. I'd like to make sorry. I'd like to make a motion to, we have members of the public here. And we also have an item on our agenda to declare the first Friday in June to be National Gun Violence Awareness Day. And we have some people here who would like to speak to that issue. So I'd like to make a motion to rearrange the order of business and have that come first.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Who was that, Chad?
Chad.
We can do all in favor. Right? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so as Mike said, this proclamation declares the first Friday in June, which I believe is June 7th, 2019, to be National Gun Violence Awareness Day. And we have members of the anti-gun violence.
It's Demand Action for Gun Sense in America.
Thanks. Would you like to come up and speak?
Who is it?
Could you just state the name of your group? I'm sorry.
It's Last Man Action for Gun Sense in America.
Joe, can we raise the mic for these people? Because I get the feeling they're going to need it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Malkin and the Roosevelt Borough Council, for giving me the time to speak about declaring National Gun Violence Awareness Day. My name is Jillian Turner, and I'm a junior in college and a member of Students Demand Action, an offshoot of Moms Demand Action begun after the Parkland shooting. Moms Demand Action and Students Demand Action are nonpartisan grassroots movements. And while we fully support the right of law-abiding citizens to own firearms, our goal is to reduce the more than 36,000 deaths every year through sensible gun legislation, raising awareness, and by promoting gun safety. I sincerely thank you for announcing this proclamation for National Gun Violence Awareness Day in Roosevelt. I actually witnessed this proclamation last year when you were one of the 32 Monmouth County towns to do this. This year, we're up to 38 towns and the Monmouth County Board of Freeholders. And the fact that the number of gun deaths per day has risen from 96 last year to more than 100 this year shows the need to continue promoting awareness of this epidemic in our country. I invite everyone who agrees we can do more to save American lives from gun violence to wear orange on June 7th to help spread the word about the importance of remembering and honoring all victims of gun violence. We also invite you and your families to attend our Community Day of Action on Saturday, June 8th, from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. at Liberty Park Community Garden in Neptune Township, where we will work on their community garden while also honoring gun violence survivors and spreading the word about gun safety. If you'd like any more information about the event or about Moms Demand Action, I have a flyer for you to take. And thank you so much once again for doing this proclamation.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Very welcome. Right.
Thank you. You want to read the proclamation?
Sure.
What college do you go to, by the way?
I go to Brown.
Do you?
It's Rutgers, bro.
Ooh. Okay.
Mayor, before you read the proclamation, can I say something to this issue?
Sure.
It took the New Zealand legislature less than 2 months to pass legislation to curb gun violence and really to protect people.
New Zealand.
It took them less than 2 months, and they had bipartisan support to do it. In this country, we can't seem to get anything moving on it at all. And I think it's horrible. So I really, really think that anything we can do to press this issue would be a great thing for the people. And I thank you guys for doing this.
If the lobby didn't pay for all the on the votes.
Right. That's right.
Actually, could I ask a question? You said 36,000 deaths a year. That's in this country alone. That's what I thought.
You said 100. Was that in this county? Or?
100 per day.
Oh, 100 per day.
Okay. Where?
The nation,
in the country.
In the country, yeah.
That's a death at the end of a gun.
That's the highest.
Suicide, homicide, accidental death.
All of the above.
Someone shot with a gun, 36,000.
The highest.
Yes.
Yeah. Highest in the industrial world.
I'd also like to commend all of the students who are taking this upon themselves.
Yes.
It was back in the 60s where students rose and made a difference in this country.
Now they're trying again.
And these days, I think it's highly commendable that down to grammar and high schools and college students, that people get up and say, what's on their minds? This is really what democracy in America should all be about. So thank you for being here. So.
The Florida incident kicked that off.
Yeah, really. Absolutely. So, okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Kicked off long before that.
Thank you.
I'll read the proclamation.
From your mouth and God's ear.
Declaring the first Friday in June to be National Gun Violence Awareness Day. This proclamation declares the first Friday in June to be National Gun Violence Awareness Day in the Borough of Roosevelt to honor and remember all victims and survivors of gun violence and to declare that we as a country must do more to reduce gun violence. Whereas every day 100 Americans are killed by gun violence, and on average, there are nearly 13,000 gun homicides every year. And whereas Americans are 25 times more likely to be killed with guns than people in other high-income countries, and whereas protecting public safety in the communities they serve is mayors' highest responsibility, and whereas support for the Second Amendment rights of law-abiding citizens goes hand in hand with keeping guns away from people with dangerous histories, and whereas mayors and law enforcement officers know their communities best and are the most familiar with local criminal activity and how to address it and are best positioned to understand how to keep all of their citizens safe, and whereas in January 2013, Hadiyah Pendleton, a teenager who marched in President Obama's second inaugural parade and was tragically shot and killed just weeks later, should have been now celebrating her 22nd birthday. And whereas to help honor Hadiyah and the 100 Americans whose lives are cut short and the countless survivors who are injured by shootings every day, a national coalition of organizations has designated June 7, 2019, the first Friday in June, as the fifth National Gun Violence Awareness Day. And whereas the idea was inspired by a group of Hadiyah's friends who asked their classmates to commemorate her life by wearing orange. They chose this color because hunters wear orange to announce themselves to other hunters when out in the woods, and orange is a color that symbolizes the value of human life. And whereas anyone can join this campaign by pledging to wear orange on June 7th, the first Friday in June in 2019, to help awareness about gun violence. And whereas by wearing orange on June 7th, 2019, Americans will raise awareness about gun violence and honor the lives of gun violence victims and survivors. And whereas we renew our commitment to reduce gun violence and pledge to do all we can to keep firearms out of the wrong hands and encourage responsible gun ownership to help keep our children safe. Now, therefore, be it resolved that Mayor Malkin of the Borough of Roosevelt declares the first Friday in June 7th, 2019, to be National Gun Violence Awareness Day. I encourage all citizens to support their local community's efforts to prevent the tragic effects of gun violence and to honor and value human lives.
Amen.
Proclaim this 28th day of May, 2019.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate this.
Can we
picture?
We have to move.
Okay, sure. Yeah, of course.
Sign. Can you please have one?
What school?
Brown University.
Oh, Brown. Okay.
Are we standing back there? Yeah, we'll stand back there too, Jill. If you guys would like to keep the signs that are not laminated to put up around the town, you know, hall, or that you're
what did you stand on? What did you stand on people carrying?
Here's one more laminated one.
Thank you.
About 25 states in the country are already in.
Yes, that was.
Yeah,
like
a lot of
I have a concealed carry in Texas. I'm going to do it here.
You know,
she said scary. She said
New York City. It was a van full of guns that was pulling into New York about a year ago. And they got busted. They were saying, what? No.
Carry is not a good idea. This is not Dodge City.
Well, New York has very specific laws if you are going to conceal carry, and New Jersey also, but it shouldn't be across borders.
Yeah, she said, do you have the ones that aren't laminated?
God bless you. Not here. Not in my backyard.
No, don't go to Texas either. Their lives are worth something to.
You're right. You're right.
Generally, it's the underserved that get killed.
Yeah.
I never heard of the rich man getting
killed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Or even with somebody else.
The guy down in Florida, what was his name? Valencia or something. I forgot his name. That was his boyfriend.
And I'm going to send that to
Billy. We need a motion to resume the regular order of business.
I'll second that.
Second?
I made the motion.
Okay. And you got the second, Captain?
Yeah, Lou.
One second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Go back into regular order. Yeah. No, because we have way too much more to do.
Oh, okay.
All right. I'm not giving a report. We have a really full agenda, pretty self-explanatory.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the regular council meeting minutes.
Public comment? Public comment?
Trying to get out of here, Mike?
Yeah. Just trying to move it.
Okay, we'll come to public comment, agenda items only. Would anyone care to comment
open
on the agenda?
Public at 7:22.
Right. And close at 7:22. No public comment.
Okay, now. Make a motion to approve the regular council meeting minutes of May 13th, 2019.
I'll second that.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
I'll abstain. I was absent.
Mr. Essikoff?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Grumman?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'd also like to make a motion to approve the May 13, 2019 closed meeting minutes.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Abstain.
Mr. Essikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Grumman?
I think I'll abstain from that. I did leave early.
Okay.
Okay, we come to correspondence. We have a letter received from the New Jersey Department of Transportation dated May 13th, 2019, regarding fiscal year 2020 state aid program. And we'll be discussing that later on in the meeting under new business. And then we have a letter dated May 21st, 2019, from Roberts Engineering Group regarding the New Jersey Department of Transportation application for municipal aid grant for 2020, which that's also later, right?
Madam Mayor?
Goes hand in hand.
Does one and two, are they correspond to each other?
They do.
They do.
Okay.
That's why we'll be discussing that as well.
Yep.
All right, come to ordinances. We have a second reading and public hearing on ordinance 19-01, an ordinance setting the salary range and compensation of certain officials, positions, and employees in the Borough of Roosevelt, County of Monmouth, State of New Jersey. And basically, this ordinance is amending the salary ordinance. I will open the public hearing at 7:24. Would anyone like to comment on the amended salary ordinance? I will close the public hearing at 7:24.
Can I just briefly just make a comment on what it is? The salary ordinance, we do this every year, and it sets the range of salaries for any employee of the borough. It gives a minimum and a maximum, and we fall somewhere in between usually. There were a bunch of positions that we have no intention of using. They just kind of clogged up the works, so we deleted them. And there were about six or seven positions. They do not refer to actual people. These were positions, should we need them, you know, and we had them on the books forever. Things like water, sewer, collector, chief financial. A lot of things for the water, sewer, utilities, which we don't have to have now because now they're contracted out. So we don't have employees actually working for us within the water, sewer, utilities. And that was a bunch of the deletions that we did. So it's just a matter of cleaning it up. That's it.
Okay. Any other discussion, questions from the table? Okay. And then we have the second reading and public hearing.
Wait.
The vote?
Yes.
Yeah, so I didn't see that one here.
You got to close it first.
We closed the
public hearing at 7:24.
Then yeah, Mike spoke, and
right.
Now we need a motion.
Okay,
right, that's what I thought, but I didn't.
Right. I'd like to move ordinance 1901.
I'll second that.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Essikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
Now we come to second reading and public hearing of Ordinance 19-02, calendar year 2019 ordinance to exceed the municipal budget appropriation limits and establish a cap bank, NJSA 40:4-45.14. And this ordinance authorizes an increase to 3.5% over the previous year's final appropriations.
I'll make that motion.
Well, I have to know public hearing. We're all out of sync today. I open the public hearing at 7:27.
You close it at 7:27.
And does anyone have anyone like Alan or Steve have any?
I just want to say that we do this every year, and it's just in case there's some huge expenditure that comes out of nowhere and that's above the amount of money that we might generally have in our budget. This gives us the leeway to make those repairs should we need it.
It was a fun fact.
And thank goodness we never have to use it. And I hope
don't
we
say
don't.
That. Don't jinx
us. It's called the fun fact.
Yeah.
Why not?
All right. So we also close the hearing at 7:27.
Okay.
Motion to approve.
I'll second.
Okay. Roll call. Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Essikoff?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
And we come to second reading and public hearing of Bond Ordinance 19-03. Bond ordinance providing for various road, drainage, and parking lot improvements, appropriating $655,000, therefore, and authorizing the issuance of $240,000 bonds and notes to finance a portion of the cost thereof, authorized in and by the Borough of Roosevelt in the County of Monmouth, New Jersey. And this bond is providing for various road, drainage, and parking lot improvements. Did you want to? Well, okay, I'll open it first. Open the public hearing at 7:28 p.m.
Closed at 7:28.
Wait, Alan, did you say something? Did you? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. And we will close the public hearing at 7:28.
And And if you want, just for the public record, this is for improvements, basically road repairs to NERCO Road and Elm Court. NERCO doesn't have any water or sewer lines under it, from what I understand, that we need to do anything with, so that's great. We applied for DOT grants, and we received a grant for $350,000, which covers a lot of the $655,000. And the way they, we're not, we have $350,000 already pledged to us, so that's $655,000, subtract the $350,000 out. We're really only bonding for $355,000. And that's the amount that we're going to need for surveying and paving and all of the costs that go into that. We also bundled with it stormwater improvements at Borough Hall. If you've been here during a rainstorm or even after a snow melt, you can see that water accumulates in the parking area, and also the parking lot area is pretty badly deteriorated in front of the emergency squad.
And also in the winter, that all turns to ice, and it's treacherous.
Right, and it's just going to get worse. So we also bundled that into this bond to save money on bonding costs and all of the costs of incurring debt. So that's all part of this bond.
Okay, on a question?
Hmm?
Sure.
Okay. You got 655 minus 350 is 305. Then there's the 65,000 difference between the 240 for the bond. That comes from, yeah.
Well, there's a stormwater improvements section, which is 62.5. Okay. So you have the road stuff, which is 235, 62.5 for the separate stormwater improvements at Borough Hall. Parking lot improvements at Borough Hall is another 42.5. There's about 95,000 in what they call Section 20 costs, which, as I understand it, is all of the costs of advertising, selling, maintaining, preparing a bond to incur debt, and that all costs money.
That's a soft cost.
Yeah, the soft financing cost related to financing.
Engineering.
No, I don't think so. I think it's all the financing costs, isn't it?
Isn't it part of engineering, putting the together and everything.
Oh, then it is. Okay, so it is a lot of those things bundled in. So that's where
they're not like construction administration and things like that.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, so anything that's considered soft cost or cost of the financing is, that's part of that number.
Okay.
And that's how it tallies up.
Okay. All right.
That's
okay.
It.
Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Sorry, who?
Lou.
I'll second.
That was Mike second?
Yeah. Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Essipoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Grauman?
Yes.
When can we get started on this?
Yeah, today.
Yesterday.
Well, with the bond, it's... Yeah. Will be advertised, and the date that it goes in the paper, there's a 20-day estoppel period. So after that period is over with, then you can proceed.
So maybe possibly before the winter.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Great. That would be
Come
great.
On, really?
That would be a good time to do it.
That would be.
And we wouldn't have a skating rink out here.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
I had fun.
It's like I can't fall anymore.
You're too old.
No, the back
I
is
told you that.
Back is in pieces.
Okay, we come to first reading and introduction of Ordinance 19-04, an ordinance of the Borough of Roosevelt amending the Borough Code to include new Chapter 18, fiber optic cables.
I'll second that. For discussion, I want to hear this one.
Right. And a public hearing will be held on June 10th. That's our next council meeting. 2019 at 7 o'clock, right here.
So Lou was the first?
Lou was the first.
I'll second. Mm-hmm.
Are we expecting them to show up?
I don't think so. No.
Oh, okay.
This is just introduction. Public hearing is...
Right.
No, but I think Lou means, will they come at the June 10th meeting? But
I don't mean people. I mean the
company. Yeah, you mean the company.
That company.
Yeah.
Whatever
their
name is. Something fiber optical.
Yeah. Cross River.
Yeah, fiber.
Cross River, right.
Yeah. I don't believe so.
hey, listen, maybe I can get them to give me a better price on my, on my computer.
Okay. I see on the on the ordinance, I know it's not discussion, but I see there's a permit fee of $2,500 that comes to us.
Talk to Greg.
Where is that ordinance?
Okay.
Yes.
Nice to.
Where'd you find that?
We get that in there before the application comes in?
1904.
Is that in here?
Yeah, it's going to be further down.
Further down.
After the letters.
There it is.
That's not too much, too. We've got another one or two.
Three, four, okay. Thank you.
That's in there.
Have a roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Esicol?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Okay, so that's when the public hearing is going to be June 10th at 7 p.m. at Roosevelt Borough Hall, 33 North Barnsdale Avenue, Roosevelt, New Jersey.
Oh, yeah. I know. I saw it.
All right, resolutions. First one is resolution 19-71, payment of bills.
I'd like to make a motion to pay the bills.
Second.
Just one item on the bills. There's a bill for pumping services for $819 for pump rental. And that's, we've been renting a pump for a couple months now because the pumps that we had there were bad and they were waiting for parts estimates from pumping services. And because it was taking so long for these parts to come in, this was the second month's rental of $819 for these two pumps, which were absolutely necessary. Pumping services agreed to waive this $819 pump rental fee. So we're actually approving it as part of the bills list, but we're not going to pay it because they agreed not to charge us for it.
And I'll have to say that that has a little to do with Mike Lyons, who runs the place and has a relationship and says, how come you don't have my parts? And we're paying for these rentals, so it's good that he's dealing with things accordingly.
Excellent.
That's great.
And that's it for the bills. Everything else is.
Did we have a motion?
Yeah,
we did. That's why we had discussion after.
Yeah.
Okay, roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Esicol?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Resolution 19-72, appointing a crossing guard. Jackie Carpenter has very graciously agreed to be a substitute crossing guard for when one of the other crossing guards can't be there at their post in the morning or afternoon. Motion?
I'll move Jackie be crossing guard.
Second.
We'll give Rosa Pup.
Who's
that? Jackie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Germany?
Yes.
Mr. Esicol?
Why not?
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Roman?
Yes.
I'd like to offer Resolution 19-73, awarding a fair and open contract for water utility operator professional services to H2O Services LLC of Robbinsville, New Jersey.
I'll second that.
And that's our water operator, John Holden, who has completed his first year as the water operator in Roosevelt, and in my opinion has done an exemplary job.
And not only that, they've held the cost for the same cost that we spent last year, too.
Water and sewer cost
have basically.
And we've
had pristine water for 1 year.
Yeah. And he's very serious about his water. He goes around. He flushed all the hydrants again the other day. He had a slight change in the fluorine levels since they put the post-fluorinization in, and he chased it, and now it's back to perfect with a new system, so it's like...
Yes. You can actually drink it straight.
You can actually drink it and wash your clothes. Better than that, you can wash your white clothes. Roll call?
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Esicol?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
I'd like to offer Resolution 19-74, resolution awarding a fair and open contract for wastewater utility operator professional services to Lyons Environmental Services, LLC of Neptune, New Jersey.
I'll I'll second that. And I just
is there such a thing as pristine wastewater?
Yeah, there is, because it's feeding the
on the discharge end, yeah.
On the discharge end, yeah.
So we've had, Mike Lyons is our sewer operator, we've had pristine wastewater for the past year.
Yeah. But these guys are really doing a great job and saving, reasonable amount of money from the previous operator.
And again, they're holding the line on what they charge. So it's the same cost as last year. Which
and
is
we
great.
Took them out, and we took, they're not in our salary budget, obviously. That's
right,
that's
right.
Good thing.
And yeah. No health benefits.
No workman's comp, yeah. Any of that. Or
Joe, I was curious, has Mike mentioned anything to you about, because we were constantly having a problem with No, that I know.
Yeah.
No wipes, you know, non-flushables that are flushed. Has he said anything?
Yeah, he doesn't like that people do it. There are educational things that they could do to make the kids shame their parents, not the girls, let's say.
So, I mean, it still is being done, right?
It's still being done, but the muffin masher, whatever it's called, really tears them up. But then the screen that's supposed to take them out doesn't really take them out because they're so tiny. Then.
And gummy.
Yeah, so it's almost like we're overkill on the front end because of that.
So maybe we should remind people it's been a while.
Yeah,
that
there's
even though the package says flushable, it's really not.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're not.
And now they came out with ones that say are flushable, and they're really not.
No, none of them are.
Can we put out something on the bulletin board in town that has a line through?
Flushable,
punishable by.
Yeah. But other towns and cities, New York City and London, are having this problem. Everybody's having this problem. Grease down the great drains.
London is the worst in the world,
London,
I've heard.
And they're calling them greasebergs or fatbergs. Mm-hmm. And so we should put a contact for the websites for these.
Or maybe a photograph, because when you see what it looks like, it is disgusting.
They're room-sized.
I'm not
taking
a picture.
You know what I mean?
No, Joe's utility chair.
There
he can
go.
Do
yeah, that. Yeah, I'll take it. No, but there are other cities have gone into real public acknowledgement of these problems, because it's a real problem out there now. You know, so.
I think there ought to be a class action suit. From municipalities
to the companies that say flushable,
to tell them that they can't advertise them as flushable.
Yeah,
to the
they're not held accountable at all. Yeah.
California's done that.
Have they?
Yeah.
Yep.
They
I don't see why we should.
You know, they're first at everything we do in this world.
Okay, so roll call.
Okay, Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Essikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
I'd like to offer resolution 19-75 appointing an office manager, appointing Anna Debevic, office manager for the borough.
I'll second that.
Anna's just taking on some additional duties and a new title, or an additional title. We had a motion and a second?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Essikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
All right, come to reports of committee chairs. You tired of going first, Steve?
No.
Okay. So, Councilmember Bowen, Public Works.
Yeah, I hate to keep bringing this up, but I don't feel like it's completely done. And it's that water, the storm drain issue on North
Valley.
Okay, I just want to all be on the same page so residents know what's going on, I know what's going on, everybody else knows what's going on. Now, this is a brief summary. The storm drain got backed up, water wasn't flowing. We had the county come out, they couldn't clear it, and we hired a private contractor. He came out, spent all day, and was able to get it to where water can flow through there, with the report being that there's a root infiltration, okay? So the roots are still down there. Whatever work he did was basically just blasting water through this tangled root mess that's in there. So the roots are still in there.
The roots are from the trees on the residence
property?
The roots
property are from the trees.
Or from...
No, there are two willow trees right there. So clearly the trees have to come down. Because apparently this same problem has happened a few years ago. And the pipe itself actually got replaced at that time. So, you know, just based on the report, if there's roots in there, you know, there's been at least a breach in the integrity of the pipe. So even just cutting the tree down doesn't really solve the root problem. It won't get any worse. But the roots, I think, act as a big filter. And all of the dirt and debris and whatnot that gets flows through there eventually clogs it up. So in my opinion, the job's not done. Okay? So, but then now there's another complicating factor, right, Joe, regarding, I don't know, like easements and whatnot that Carmella brought up. Do you have any further information about that?
I found the maps through Donna Taylor, our tax assessor. And on the maps, there was a 75-foot easement. And actually, Steve sent me one of the maps also, and there was a 75 setback, not easement.
It's not an easement. It's only for building setbacks for the house.
It's a setback. Okay, so the difference between an easement and a setback, that's a legal thing, but beside that, so these trees live in the setback, and the drain water pipage lives within the setback. I notice a similar situation down by us on Pine Drive where there are storm grates in people's yards. And some people have water in their yards and they're basically living with it. Mike is one of them, you know. And you too, you have a grate in your front yard.
Yep.
I mean, they built this town on a swamp. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, in order to drain it when developers came in, they put certain types of drainage in, and it's not lasting forever is the problem. So whose problem is it at this point? I called Tom Thomas, the planner, and said, what do you know about this? And they said, we weren't around then. We know nothing about this. It's not our problem. I asked Carmella about it. I sent her an email with the maps, and she says, it's a setback. That's not our problem. So we have already expended a lot of money on this, and the problem will recur because that's what's going to happen. The roots have gone through the pipe. So at some point, the pipes have to be replaced. I don't know what happened the last time that happened, you know, because the pipes were replaced at one time. One of the storm drains is missing near another big willow tree there, so maybe they cleared it and put PVC pipe in? I don't know. There are maps and things that we can't find them, is what it comes down to. So this is something that we have to think about for the future. Is it for us to deal with? Is it for the people's property, the property owners to deal with, or what? You know. So right now, it's draining. So everything is good at this point. How long it'll stay that way? Those trees are happy looking for water this year.
We first have to determine who's going to be responsible moving forward. I mean, either we are or the homeowners. You know, I tend to think that we should be because it's a storm drain and it's part of the public works.
It actually ties into our storm.
And it ties into our system.
Right.
So, you know, if we can make a decision saying that it is our responsibility or not.
Right.
You know, then we can figure out what to do going forward. Because if it is our responsibility, well, then let's get to it. You know, we got to take the trees down, and we got to get the roots
out.
Put
a new pipe
down. Replace the pipe or whatever.
Well, wait. We were discussing a couple of months ago about the what do they call that thing, the pipe that goes from your house, the sewer pipe from your house to the...
The sewer pipes is a different issue.
Wait. The point is that we decided that was not our responsibility because... That's what it is.
Because you're talking about the laterals.
The laterals.
Right? The laterals
Thank
are
you.
Down. Right.
They're not our responsibility.
That's a good point.
What makes this our responsibility? It's not a whole lot different.
Do you deal with this in other towns?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different terms that have been thrown around. A setback is a zoning term. It means how far the house needs to be set back from the lots, right?
Actually, that really has nothing to do with this at all.
An easement is...
An easement is a right of the town to build a drainage pipe on your property. So, for example, in Red Bank, they're redoing English Plaza parking lot, and so there's drainage pipes that the borough is putting in. The borough wants to be responsible for maintaining those drainage pipes, notwithstanding they're on private property. And so I drafted paperwork that says to the private property owners that they have to allow us on the property to service the drain pipes even after we leave the construction. And so that would be recorded against the property. So when the drain pipe clogs and the property owner goes, who's supposed to be responsible for the drain pipe, on his property is a recorded document that says the borough's responsible for it.
What if we have nothing that resembles that.
That's an easement.
What if they tear the parking lot up to fix the pipe? Whose responsibility is that?
The hardscape? The borough has to restore it because they're responsible for doing the underdrain.
Okay.
So, but that's a recorded document. So when you go look at the, you know, for example, block 31, lot 45 is the end of the English parking lot, because I just wrote this 2 days ago. And there's a sidewalk there, and there's an easement for that that says the public can walk across it, and you can't close it off.
Right.
Because it's not in the right-of-way, which is the other term here that's being thrown around. The right-of-way is basically the road width and the easements around it. Easements is a restrictive covenants around it, I think is a better term. Long story short, if the road's 30 feet, typically an average road with the right-of-way, with the borough, if you grant a right-of-way to the town, is usually 50 feet, so 10 feet on each side. And any of the utilities in there are generally presumed to be the borough's responsibility, absent ordinance to the contrary.
Right.
So if there's an ordinance that says you're responsible for sidewalks, you're a homeowner, but the sidewalks are within the right-of-way, it's generally the homeowner's responsibility when there's a one-off problem like this. However, if they do the whole street and the borough comes in and does everything, they'll get consents from the property owners and they'll replace the pipes and the sidewalks along with it when they do everything else because it's in the right-of-way. And in the right-of-way, they don't even need permission really to go up and do it, which is why we do it. But if there's something that ends up on the property, you have to get separate permission.
So if those pipes were
25
within
feet.
10 feet of the road,
yeah,
that clearly would be our responsibility,
right?
But
25 feet.
25
absent an ordinance or some regulation to the contrary, if they're in the right-of-way, it's typically the municipality's responsibility. And that's, like, if there was, like, ultimately, this is not, there's so many different circumstances, this place was built a long time ago.
84.
So there's dams everywhere that the county's kind of responsible for, but not really, and the municipality kind of takes care of, but not really, and everyone, you know what I mean? So you have to remember that all this stuff was built a really long time ago. Typically.
Well, the 10-foot rule, how long has that been around? Yeah, like when
depends on, honestly, I just that's just the classic street that's today's
standard stuff.
I don't know what the standard was in 1937, but I bet it's on one of those maps you got back.
Maybe.
Like, when were those houses built?
84.
So if they're built in 84, then there is definitely a plat for the subdivision filed somewhere that tells you who's responsible for what.
In the map file.
It's gone.
Well, that says setback. That's all
it says. Is it on a county road?
No.
It's on our
easement. It's our road, and there's a 20-foot
map.
An easement will be recorded at the county.
Right.
The plat that determines whose property is what, like someone had a big piece of property and divided a bunch of houses and sold them off. It sounds like there's four of them.
Yep.
The subdivision plat must be filed with your land use board.
Right.
And that land use board and the application there for approval.
That's our planning board.
Correct.
Yeah.
Subdivides the property, and the standards are a major subdivision or a minor subdivision, and I'm not a land use attorney, so I'm not going to sit here and tell you all the rules of all that. However, there's a difference between the two, and one requires a lot more than the other. Four houses, I think, is major and requires other stuff to happen.
Six houses, yeah.
Okay, then that's almost certainly a major subdivision, and they have to file a plat. It's recorded here. It might even be recorded at the county with the common property, but I don't know. Good luck finding that.
Yeah, really.
What's that?
It is. I sent it to
them. Well, all that shows is a setback. It doesn't show anything else. Right.
They could have created the easements after the fact.
I get the feeling from...
But they probably have.
Yeah.
And but the difference is, Lou was saying that, you have pipes that connect to the municipal system.
Right.
And that's 100% normal. Problem is they usually just service one house and entity. You might have development that has a homeowners association where they own their system that they connect in.
Right.
That's not the specific case down there.
Yeah, this is six houses with a common pipe 25 foot off the road connected at either end to our storm drains on the street.
And it's probably done the wrong way. I think Steve is right, but
yeah.
It should probably be cleaned up because it does service more than one house.
Right.
And what if the pipe gets plugged up on Joe Smith's property and it's backing up on Mrs. Jones's
That's
property?
That's what's happening, right?
Mr. Smith says, well, no, you can't come on my property and clean it out.
Right.
Who deals with it then?
Yeah.
So I think it really That's is.
But what I'm saying is there's no way during 1984 and that sooner that issue wasn't reviewed before your land use board.
What I would think, yeah.
I mean, so it's very common. So the storm drains are all tied into your drainage pipes. You usually get that through a street opening permit or you talk contact the utilities department, you connect in. That's all really common. When there's four connected in a row, the gentleman's point is apt. That's exactly why there's easements in Red Bank, because I don't want to be arguing with property owner A when property owner B has water on their property. And so the borough is taking responsibility for that. However, the easement says that if the sidewalk cracks, the retaining wall falls down, that's all on you because we built it on your private property as part of a public improvement.
Right.
You're responsible for that. And there's the document that sets out what responsibilities are whose.
So the chances are.
I can't imagine that the resolution of approval for a subdivision of that size in a town this small with that kind of public improvement connected to your public infrastructure doesn't have some sort, at least a resolution of approval addressing that issue.
It probably, they were built in 85, so it probably would have come up in 84, I would think.
Right, well, I'm saying that record exists.
It would be in the minutes of the planning board.
Correct. In the minutes or more likely, the resolution of approval.
Right.
So there's conditions of approval, and one of them might have been, you know, demarcating your storm sewer line, and it will say, you know, have a note in there about what was discussed and what was decided upon it. And then that would be a good, I mean, typically these things are presented in the terms of a property owner's claim to the borough. Basically saying, hey, your public infrastructure is backing up. Like, for example, if this was a sewer pipe, no question, it's our sewer pipe. If it was backing up onto the properties, they'd want us to fix it, right? So this is a circumstance where we're not sure who's responsible for this infrastructure. It doesn't fall in the right-of-way, so it seems to be not a public improvement on its face. But it's peculiar in that it serves multiple properties, right, and is still pretty, and is connected to our public infrastructure in total. There's I can't imagine that happen without people talking about it or engineering at the land use board looking at it at minimum to make sure the pipe was going the right way.
Apparently this has been going on for years. Apparently, because it has been repaired before. There is a drain missing that our water guy found with his magnetometer that should be here, and he found a trace of it there. So at this point, we have eaten whatever repairs needed to be made, but we're looking to the future now. We're trying to figure out what we should do.
Has anyone done a title search on any of these properties?
Well, that's what we have here. We have a title search, and we have, the tax assessor did a title search. We have the deeds, and we have the map that shows a setback. That's as far as we got.
Okay.
But this would
resolution of approval, I think, would tell you a lot.
That would
more
be a planning board thing. And apparently, are there records dating back here to 1984?
Yeah, it's not. I mean,
yeah.
It's only.
It's not ancient history.
Yeah,
land use board records never go away.
What?
Okay.
They keep the land use they keep the land use records forever.
So that might be at the county, or
should be here.
Should be here.
Don't they file it with the county too?
Yeah.
Depends.
How big it is.
Depends on what the regulation, like now you'd be able to go to the Freehold Soil Conservation District, you'd be able to have a lot of different regulatory bodies
right.
to find stuff like that.
Right.
In 1984, I'm not sure.
No.
Anna's not
okay.
sure that we can find it here. We've gone through this, and whether we can find it or not is a question right now. So, I understand there's more maps upstairs. Soon I want to start looking at those too, because,
if we take on responsibility for this, are we taking on responsibility for the drainage improvements connecting my house and the other four or five houses there, Lou's house and the other houses there?
That's a
Are we creating a precedent where somebody can say, hey,
that's the problem.
You did it over here. What about over here and over here and over here? And then somebody else says, wait, you didn't know this, but I have a problem here over there too.
Right.
You did for me.
Absent location where it would presumptively be ours. as the boroughs. These things, like I said, these things are typically presented in the form of a claim from a property owner that there's some document that says you're responsible for this, or there's a presumption to flip that presumption. If it was in the right of way, then I think that it would be presumptively ours.
But in a setback, it's
a setback has no bearing on it. It's just an improvement.
What
I mean,
else gets built?
Honestly, sitting at this table, you don't know. We don't know if this was fully discussed at the zoning board, and the borough agreed, oh, we have to have more drainage there, and the borough engineer imposed this obligation on the subdivision owner, and the borough assumed responsibility for it, and that's in the condition of resolution. That could be the case, or it could equally be the case that we approved the subdivision, the builder went out there, had water on the front of the lot the entire time he was building the houses, and put in his own drain pipe and just connected it to the system,
could
and we had no idea it was ever there from the beginning. Both those things, as we sit here, are equally plausible. So in order to make the policy decision that you're either going to assume responsibility for this or not, there has to be additional documentation on this one because it doesn't fall within a parameter that you would be able to presume that it's a public improvement.
So it leaves us kind of where we are now.
I'm searching for the planning board may be able to help.
Looking up that 84 resolution.
I mean, in a subdivision, if there's that big kind of drainage infrastructure improvement, and it was on the plan, there's no way the borough engineer can look at it.
And Castlehunt was the board secretary.
Right, so the practice when you build something like that is that you put a bond.
I don't know whether she was board secretary at that time.
Yeah.
But it could be that she's been doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
She only stopped a couple of years ago.
Well, let's say you wanted to build anything, like a major development like that, anywhere. The developer says, okay, here's the deal. And then the DEP and the engineers, they say, here's the stormwater calculations. You have to have these many drains, and this is where it has to go, and
that's
all sort of stuff, right?
84?
Right. Well, I don't know. There were regulations back in 84, for sure, on stormwater. And they weren't as nearly as stringent as they are post-Sandy, but that's the example I'm using today. But that's essentially the same. It's the same premise. This would be an infrastructure, just like there would be a water pipe servicing six houses that's big enough for the fire department to hook up to put fires out. Right, those are the kind of regulatory things the land use board looks at. So on an improvement like this that has a drainage, if it is in public improvement, the developer would have to bond that improvement. So for example, let's say you were building a cul-de-sac. Well, you have to build the street, the curbs, the pipes, and everything. You can't just build seven houses, sell them, and leave. What are we going to do with that as a municipality? Right, because we're dedicated to that property as part of your subdivision, as part of the street. We can't guarantee you're going to build anything except build seven houses or sell them on spec and leave with the money. And then we have a street we have to build that we didn't ask for to begin with. So any kind of public improvement like that benefits multiple properties and is in an application like this is bonded. They have to put up an amount, 120% of whatever the public improvement is. The developer has to post that. In effect, they pay a premium to a bonding company that agrees to pay that amount of money if you're not insured. And the engineer, how do you come up with that number? What needs to be bonded? The engineer looks at the public improvement and says, it costs this much money if we were going to put it in ourselves, and therefore the developer has to put up this amount of a bond. And that's a common practice in anything from, like, you know, for example, there was a car wash in Red Bank that wanted to put up a small stand for the guy to stand under for his ticket taking. Well, that had to be bonded because there was sidewalk and curb improvement in front of it. So there has to be a record. If it's a public improvement, there has to be records like that. That prove it's a public improvement. And so typically when you see this kind of case, the property owner walks in with, oh, here's the resolution of approval, here's the thing that says there's no homeowners association, and here's the thing that says the borough will be responsible after the developer builds it, and he bonded the improvement, here's the bond number. That's typically how this sort of thing comes in. Okay. I mean, this is a much smaller town with a lot less administration, so
okay,
I recognize you guys are doing the work yourselves, but that's the process.
You've been here for a while. I know they called...
I think
houses.
Longer than anyone. No, only Lou is here longer than I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they call the houses by us the so-and-so estates, the guy that built them.
No. The estates are up on Lake.
Lake Drive.
The
okay.
old part of Lake Drive. That's
that
the estate.
The manors or something?
No.
Okay.
That's
so what was this called?
We call it Sewer Lane.
What was this called?
This is just called...
Do you have the deeds for this property that you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. If you get the deed, it should reference the subdivision plan on it.
The owner references the...
The
Notterman?
Yeah.
So that was part of the Notterman.
That's
track.
Right.
Yeah.
And the rest
exactly.
of it went
There's
to
a lead.
Rest of it went to green space or something like that?
Yes, it did.
Green acres.
Okay.
Well, that means that the county county steward has paperwork on this whole property and transaction. So I mean, the deed will have the description of what the original land was. And we'll give you what the reference is for the plat.
Which it does, and it's the bottom of the hill where they built these houses, and that's where the water.
And if that plat is part of a Green Acres transaction, then that plat is 100% either in Trenton on Barrack Street or East State Street, or it's with the Monmouth County Steward.
Okay, so we have another lead here that we can, you know.
That's it.
Yeah, but
I don't remember whether.
It doesn't say anything about drainage
what's her
or anything
name,
like that.
The attorney for the board.
Michelle Donato?
I think Michelle Donato.
Way back then?
I don't think way back then, Lou. You're talking about 35 years ago.
Yeah.
Well,
Michelle
could be.
Maybe, I don't know.
If it was her, I can assure you that it would have to be right by the button.
Oh, yeah, if it was her, but I'm not so sure it was her.
She's a brilliant.
I just don't think it was her that long ago.
Well, I'll look the deeds over again, but you're talking about the Nauterman track and what provisions were made for drainage and whether, you know. So
I have another issue, though.
I just want to say for the record that the gentleman speaking from the audience is Steve Mocker.
Yeah, and Steve is a...
That's okay.
Steve is a surveyor for stuff like
right.
this, so, you know, he knows what he's talking about.
I think upstream from here, the town has a head wall that drains. There's a catch basin that's falling apart, and another one at the end of the...
Right by the triangle.
The triangle.
Yep, yeah.
I think you have a storm drain that drains across and out into the head wall that eventually makes its way down through that drainage system.
So
that doesn't
the
help
drainage...
Either, right?
So that kind of makes it even more...
That's right.
Yeah,
more
yeah.
of a problem for you guys because, you know, that storm water is eventually getting into that system.
Right. The head wall is on the hill going up like Eleanor, but up inside the woods
and
or inside the field.
Up the hill... The triangle's on the left.
Right.
The head wall's on the right.
It's yeah, there's a drain there that's kind of crumbling.
So we're talking about
yeah.
if
yeah.
we want to remediate this thing, we have to rip up a good part of the...
Bigness.
I can't say that.
The front lawn,
been
huh?
peeling the onion back here for a while, man.
Yeah.
This is like a lot of rotten onion.
Yeah, that's why you need to be careful.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Taking it on is our project.
No, well, you
but
you
this
can.
Is
and George Lang has said in the past that there are many
that.
Things that we take on that no other towns do, and we have such a limited.
Yeah. I mean, we all want to help out the homeowners with
well,
this.
Well, you know, that's what I agree. I think we shouldn't do anything until. We know whose responsibility this is.
Well, we've done
if
a certain amount.
If it's ours, then we'll have to bite the bullet. If it's not, we may even go into a deal with the owner, pay 50%. He pays 50%. I mean, but we have to know what's
we
going on.
We have to know the facts.
We have
we
to
need
know
the facts.
Where it's about, what it's about.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think that you can call. You can call Anne Castle and find out if she was the board secretary.
Right now, the drainage is temporarily working.
Under control.
Okay.
Yeah, the water's flowing, but it's just a matter of time before the roof
That's right.
That's we're trying to get a handle on that's right.
Yeah.
Can't, this is so oversimplistic, but isn't there, can't cut down the tree and pour root dissolver in there?
No, the pipes are probably kapoof. You know,
yeah, well, you know, at that time they used to put corrugated pipe.
Exactly.
That's what that is.
Because
I
exactly
told you in front of my
yes.
house, that was a no-no.
Yeah, but galvanized will last so long and then it's rusted out. You know, so
once they put in that, in front of my house, once they put in that plastic, I haven't had a flood on my front lawn.
It would have to be plastic all the way through, you know, so.
Okay.
You have to do the whole
so
thing.
All right, well,
we?
We'll, yeah,
okay.
we'll.
We're going to look at,
continue
we're
after we
look for that resolution.
Try to ascertain exactly what.
And Michelle.
Right.
After we ascertain all the facts, we can
to be continued.
Continue to discuss, right? Thank you, Steve.
Anything else?
No.
Okay. Councilmember Esikoff, administration.
Well, the borough hall is functioning very nicely, thanks to Mr. Bevick and Mrs. Hart.
I agree.
Oh, thank you.
Completely.
I agree with Anna, definitely.
You're bearing
no.
all this.
Councilmember Darmody?
No report from me.
Okay. Councilmember Hamilton, Finance.
We didn't have a meeting. We do have the budget on the agenda for our next business meeting. Is that correct?
Next one or the one after?
Is it the next
no, it's June 10th.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah, June 10th.
That's a month.
But there were two items that we need to address on the council. You saw the two pieces of correspondence, one from the DOT regarding this year's application for a DOT road grant. And every year we apply for it, and we've been really successful with that. And we just talked about getting $350,000 for NERCO Road and Elm Court. The application deadline, the application has to be completed and in no later than July 19th. So we have to do two things. We have to decide which road, and this is referring to Carmela Roberts' letters, if you have them in front of you. She gives three recommendations for projects that we may want to apply for, one of the three. But we need to decide which one we would like to proceed with and have her file an application for a DOT grant for. And we also need to fund that because it costs around $4,000 to prepare this application and to research it and to do it properly. And we may have to vote on that in terms of a resolution at this meeting.
She does all that, right?
Pardon?
Carmela does all that.
Yeah, she does it all. So the first recommendation she has is improvements to the entire length of School Lane. So that's one. So that would be both sides of School Lane. And improvements mean...
Well, Mike, we have this under new business, so do you want to wait till we get to that and go into the details?
That's fine. It was just a finance kind of item, so...
Yeah, it's kind of overlaps into...
But so let's just leave it, leave that decision and that discussion for new business, but we would have to authorize $4,000 to file that application and, you know, for her to complete it.
And that's July 19th this year, so we have two meetings.
That has nothing to do with...
Yeah, but she needs lead time to work on it, too, so...
That's nothing to do with the Farm Lane one.
No, that Farm Lane is 2019. This is 2020.
But I would just suggest that we kind of decide tonight which improvement we want to apply for.
What are we going to do tonight, Farm Lane?
And then authorize $4,000 for her working on it. And that's all I have for finance.
Council member
Hamilton, when are we doing Farm Lane?
That was already approved.
This year, 2019.
The money was approved.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure where we are with that, but I think, did we?
We definitely approved it.
I know we approved it. I'm not sure where we are in terms of.
I guess we have to ask Carmela.
Bids and all that.
Because Homestead
right, hasn't
gets done.
Hasn't done that, yeah. Okay.
Do we lose it if we don't use it?
Yeah. After 2 years, our file for an extension. You can get an extension on
okay.
it.
Okay. Let's not lose it, folks.
No. We won't.
Oh, no.
I need work on
too much
that.
Money.
We Farm Lane looks like the Ho Chi Minh Trail. Yeah.
It's the drainage.
We'll work on that then, too.
What? It's not the drainage anymore.
And the report.
Thanks, Glenn. All right, Council Member Trammell, Utilities?
We've discussed all of my report already, so.
Perfect.
Yeah. I just want to come on.
Took the steam out of you.
Took the steam out of me. I want to commend John Holden, H2O, and Mike Lyons, the sewer department. These guys are really, they're hanging in there. They're doing a great job. So, yeah.
Sure.
Sure.
Council Member
nice guys.
Roman?
Nothing new to report.
Okay. Where am I? Okay, we have no borough officials here tonight, so we don't need any reports from them. Does anyone have any old business they'd like to discuss? Okay, we're on to new business. First thing on the agenda, New Jersey DOT application for municipal aid grant 2020 discussion. All right, Mike, I didn't mean to cut you off before, but
it's okay. We have school lane, both sides. I don't know when that was done last. We did have a map with, you know, when projects were done and what's coming up. Apparently, it's due, or else she wouldn't have it on the list.
Yeah.
Which means a certain amount of years have gone by, conditions have deteriorated. So both sides of School Lane. That would also include, if you read the second paragraph below the numbers, mill and overlay with base repairs is necessary. In addition, deteriorated curbs and sidewalks. School Lane doesn't have sidewalks on both sides. And
only on one side.
Yeah, only on one side.
One side.
Yeah. And And that could be a safety issue because you can have children walking along there, too. So that would probably be something where she would make a recommendation to probably install sidewalks there, which could be an issue for some of the homeowners. But still, it's something that School Lane is on one of the proposals. Improvements to Pine Drive between Tamara and North Rochdale, or the other section, Tamara Drive between Pine Drive and South Rochdale.
Isn't that the entire length of Tamara?
Yeah, if you did both of them, but we're only going to apply for one of them.
No, I'm just saying, but if you Tamara from Pine to Rochdale is
the entire.
No, that's it. That's Tamara.
The entire Tamara.
Yeah,
okay.
Tamara
between Pine to South.
Yeah, that's the entire
yeah.
length.
Should just be.
There
the
is no. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just Tamara Drive.
So there's only one and two. Right?
Well, what do you
well,
think
no,
she
there's
was?
Two and three. It's two
I don't know what yeah. she was referring to. Maybe half.
No, I thought, there's three different ones. There's Pine from Tamara, the triangle, to Rochdale.
North Rochdale.
Then there's all of Tamara.
Right.
And then there's
South
school.
Rochdale. And there's the school. So there are three.
I just meant she has Tamara as from Pine
from
to,
Pine
North,
to
North,
North
Rochdale.
Rochdale
but
which
that's all
is all
there
of
is.
It. That's all of it, right?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
it.
That's Pine.
Yeah, that's
right.
That's Tamara.
That's Pine. That's not Tamara. The North Rochdale is on there.
Well, so there's a couple things here working here. If you want to apply for the most grant money, that might be the most, number two, doing all of Tamara.
No, that's not all of Tamara. Number two is from the triangle to North Rochdale.
Right.
Number three is
that's
from
Pine
the
Drive.
Triangle
that's
to
Pine
South
Drive.
That's
Rochdale.
Pine Drive.
That's the Pine Drive triangle, yeah. which is all of Tamara.
It's all of Tamara, Joe. It only goes from the triangle to Rochdale. That's all of Tamara.
Tamara
wait,
goes
wait,
from
wait, wait, wait,
the triangle
no, no, no,
to
no.
South Rochdale.
No, no.
Number
no.
two is Pine Drive
is
from
this thing?
Right, but
the
Tamara,
triangle to North Rochdale.
Right, but she has Tamara on there, so there's only one part of Tamara.
That's where
there's
it
only
meets
one
Tamara.
Yeah.
It's really it. So, okay. So there are three separate issues there. I'd say the school lane, because in front of the school at the rear entrance by the parking lot there are water and gas shutoffs that have sunken into the sidewalk to the point that they're not safe, you know. So, and I think it's a double-edged sword on School Lane because if you make it really nice, people will get up to 50 miles an hour in there. I think so, but, you know, they'll drive probably faster. And a lot of people coming in and out of town drive fast getting to the school.
Yeah, the non-residents who aren't paying attention to the
build potholes in
the road. Yeah, we can build them in. Right?
We used to call them negative speed bumps.
Negative speed bumps, exactly.
They work
like
well.
That, yeah.
They really work
that.
Well.
If she does something on school, if that's the one that we choose, then I would think that there should be some sort of, you know, bumps or whatever traffic calming.
Yeah, I think she might make those recommendations on the one side, not necessarily
on the
other.
Yeah, the other side.
You're dead-ended there.
So we really need to decide this tonight. Right? Does anybody have any other input on which
well,
street
so
you put
these
back?
Three because they are in need of repairs? Or
she she looks at a schedule of when were they done last. And so there's a roadmap of the borough,
yeah.
and she has in red usually what sections were done last.
Last year.
And these are the ones that are due for repair. The roads only have X amount of years of life.
10, I think.
10,
yeah.
something like that, maybe.
But you mentioned the difference in, like, this is grant money that we're looking to get, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And the amount of money for School Lane may be half of that of, you know, one of the other two.
It could be, but it may need it more, so.
Yeah, and I agree. I agree with Joe. I think that School Lane probably should get spruced up.
Now, Tamara has some drainage issues down there in the creek.
Yeah, they do. But there are no drains there where the water puddles, so whether we need drains there, that's really where the water table is rising in this area. That's one of the areas where we know it's rising.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve and I have walked in the back there, and we know it's rising. You know, so at some point, we should get the Essen Pink involved. Because I don't think there's another beaver dam out there, but we know that the water level is rising, the water table, you know, for the town itself. So if we could clear some of
well, it could be a combination of the water table raising and battery is blockages that were created when they built the road.
Well, we did have a big beaver problem. You don't think there are any more
dams? Half-mile beaver dam that they put a beaver deceiver in, and that helped, right? But there are state guidelines for keeping waterways, small waterways like creeks, clean. And it's not like you got to go through the DEP or the EPA. This is regular common sense stuff, and the state does it. But we have not maintained. The creek in back of my house, I take a half-mile walk with a saw and, like, you know, and clear it once in a while. And the environmental committee does nice things like that once in a while. They try to... When I first came to town, we walked through in back of Lake Drive where the swamp is there now, and the Army Corps of Engineers at some point in time tried to help us do that, and then they just said, well, it's just going to be a swamp now or whatever.
Which one is this?
That's between Lake and Farm.
Oh, yeah, well, that's... That thing became
became a swamp.
Became
right?
Literally.
All
the
trees
all
died.
The trees.
All the trees died, so...
Right.
So
and when we asked them about it, they said they want to go back to nature.
That's because
they refused to help us.
The creek wasn't allowed to flow because the trees fall on it.
Well, there was more than that. There was a lot of silting going on
from Millstone.
Millstone.
I understand.
And we asked them if they would bring in, and they said you can't bring equipment in because it would get mired in the mud.
Yep.
They were thinking of bringing in horses to pull, pull out. You know, pull
the gunk out.
Whatever the drag
What happened was when Millstone allowed those developments to go in.
It changed everything in Roosevelt.
It changed everything, but I noticed that a lot of developments, they'll put like these fences, these plastic fences around, or put silt fences, or they'll put hay, bales of hay, so the silt doesn't go through. Apparently that didn't happen here, and
we
caught the butt end of all of that. That's why
it's
all silted up.
And we didn't remember, Lou, we never had deer in the backyard until they got pushed out of their habitat.
Right.
Came into Roosevelt by the herds.
All right, so that's turkeys roll.
Yeah, turkeys, two foxes.
You know, that was a shame because we had some beautiful trees growing.
Yeah.
I hear that was a pond, swimming area, and
with a turkey.
It was in my house earlier today.
We had really a lot of wildlife in there.
Yeah.
So,
there was one frog, a bullfrog, and it was there.
I'd say school A.
I say school A. I don't have a vote, but just because of children.
Yeah, well, that's one good reason.
Yeah. It gets a lot of use.
Yeah, all those cars every day.
I just sent a text to Carmel. She recommends schooling.
Oh, really?
It's the worst, so yes, she said schooling.
I move that we advise Carmela to do school lane first.
Second.
All right.
That one would be about the least expensive.
Maybe.
Smallest one. Mm-hmm.
So
there's not much to it.
We have a motion to approve Carmela Roberts to, on the table, approve Carmelo Roberts' suggestion to file for a DOT grant for school lane.
That's suggestion number three.
Number one.
Okay.
And
okay.
We have
I'm sorry.
Who made the motion?
I think Joe moved it, and Steve seconded it.
Right. Steve.
And
school lane.
To spend up a cost not to exceed $4,000 for the application.
For her to look into it and apply. Right.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's amazing that we're talking about things like drainage in this town. I mean, that's pretty far, you know, that's not even low-hanging fruit, so we're moving right along in this town. I think so.
So, Greg, do we need to have a resolution memorialized at the next meeting, but they're authorizing her to go forward now?
We can draft a resolution based upon the council. It's very simple. It's just authorizing the borough engineer to go forward. No. Well, here's a question. Did George certify the funds?
No.
Not yet.
Okay, so why don't we do this vote? We'll memorialize it at the next meeting, but we can tell Carmela in the meantime that there was a vote taken and that we'll memorialize the next meeting. So she can get moving, and then I'll put it on my list to draft for you.
Okay.
We can move it before July.
And you have the letter, right? So you know.
We have the letter.
I think she sent it. Why don't you give it to me just to make sure? Thanks. We have to hang out.
Must be submitted on or before July 19th.
Lori's here, right?
Okay, so I have a motion from Joe Trammell and a second for Steve Owen for school lane for Carmela to authorized to do the application, to prepare
to begin,
the application.
Yeah, begin the application process.
Up to $4,000, and I'm going to do roll call.
$4,000 is not to exceed.
Up to, yeah, up to $4,000 for her. And then we'll memorialize the resolution at next meeting and get George Lang to certify the funds. Okay. Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Essequa?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, the second item on under new business is a dog waste ordinance discussion. Mr. Essikoff, would you like to lead that?
Would I what?
Like to lead the discussion about dog waste, having a dog waste ordinance?
Well, we had an incident where a person was walking his dog, and it was and the dog defecated on property. On the grass and someone, I don't know exactly where, but it was not on his house, and he was told he can't do it, and it was almost a confrontation and so on, and we in the borough historically have always said curb your dog kind of thing.
Yeah, it's in the borough bulletin.
Clean up after your dog, and very often you do see people walking with plastic bags. With their dog, for their dogs, but he doesn't do it, and he didn't want to do it. And I think that if we don't have it, we searched for an ordinance, and we don't have one. And I think if we have an ordinance and put some teeth into this kind of a situation, we can pursue it. It'll give us a chance to pursue it and teach somebody a lesson that they can't do it.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea to have something on the books.
Yes.
Because otherwise you're just telling people you can't do that, and they're saying,
no,
where does
right.
it say that?
And then you're turning, you see, what you're doing is, the one thing I think that the borough council has a mandate for is to try to avoid, make ordinances and regulations so that people in town don't confront each other.
Yeah. Here's a sample ordinance that Anna printed out. I'll read to you. No person owning or having the care, custody, or control of any dog shall permit such dog to soil or defile or to commit any nuisance upon the sidewalk, any sidewalk, street, or thoroughfare in or upon the property of persons other than the owner or person having the care, custody, or control of such dog. Such person owning or having the care, custody, or control of a dog, which dog has caused its feces to be deposited upon any borough property or upon the property of another, shall immediately remove such feces or cause it to be removed or shall dispose of it in a sanitary manner. You want me to go on? Well, there's not actually that much left. No person shall walk or otherwise have in his or her custody or control any dog upon any public property, including streets, sidewalks, public parks, beaches, and alleys. Do we have alleys in Roosevelt?
Or
unless, well, we have enough water to have a beach. Unless the person has in his or her possession and in plain view readily usable materials or implements sufficient to remove and to dispose lawfully of any fecal matter that may be deposited on the ground by the dog.
Hold on, that's just for dogs?
I just said, or the poor person.
No, what about cats?
I want to see you walk a cat.
Yeah.
No, but we've had...
But this would give, if you have an ordinance on the books, it gives the animal control officer the ability then to...
Does Millstone have that?
No, because we have had issues
with
cat
waste.
Yeah. People
pet
complaining
waste.
That the neighbor's cat was going over and pooping in their garden. They didn't want it, and so, you know, how would we have foreseen?
You know, that's...
Get a dog.
Get a dog, yeah.
You know, that's a different breed of cat.
Yeah, wild cat.
I think that's
okay,
part, that's
I think it's a good
control.
Idea.
I think it's good to have something. Greg, do you have any ordinances that you can,
Any dog poop ordinances?
I mean, you should just require people to remove it and make happy as escalating fine.
Comprehensive.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's pretty restrictive.
I
mean, is that really what you guys want? You guys are like the live free and die town. That's what we call you.
Wait,
is that really what you guys want? All the dogs banned from a Republic area? I mean, honestly, I think
that, orange here, you know.
I think you could take that and you could just narrowly tailor it where what you're going to practice as a private matter, you're going to get the same guy who walks his dog in the same person's lawn every day. And then the person's going to take three pictures of him and bring him to the code enforcement officer, and that's how people are going to get in trouble, or they're going to file citizens' complaints themselves. Yeah. Right now they have no recourse. Like, there's nothing you can do if the guy's dog is crapping on your lawn other than say that you're a crappy neighbor.
Right.
No pun intended.
Or pun intended.
But you could.
Maybe. I said pun intended.
Well, I could have used a different word. And so I think that you could give someone, like, if they really have, ultimately in the day, no one's going to be policing people's dog walking in town because you don't have policing for speeding, for that matter. So I think it's going to be citizens' complaints. So I think you should just narrowly tailor it to people leaving dog on people's private property and just make it an escalating fine. So the first time the neighbor goes in, it's maybe $50, and then it's $100, and then it's $500. Because by the third time you get there and you're convicted of doing this, you deserve a $500 fine, right?
I was living in Greenwich Village.
I'm looking for the task head shake, so I know what the right New Orleans.
No, I think that makes sense.
I was living in Greenwich Village when the New York Pooper Scooper law came along. Mm-hmm. It made such a difference.
I lived in New York before they had the Pooper Scooper.
Where is that ordinance from? Do you know?
This one?
Yeah, I don't know.
It doesn't say. Maybe.
It was in New York, right? New York was like.
I mean, that's a much more like urban one where you just need to have to curb your dog. You know, there's pre-designated areas.
Yeah, she just said she barred.
Here, I mean, you got a lot of woods.
We don't have
a lot of public rights away that are perfectly fine to walk your dog down.
We really don't have sidewalks.
I think it's just
something
that code enforcement a general.
So people are aware, clean up after your dog.
Yeah.
I think it's as simple as if you're walking your dog, you get to pick up after your dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you don't, this is the first offense, this is the second offense, this is the third offense.
Yeah.
And I really wouldn't worry about location anywhere. I would say upon public or private property, you're required to pick up after your dog in Roosevelt.
Yes,
I think that's the answer you're looking for, not so much banning the dogs from here or there.
Yeah.
I think it's just a general principle that if you're walking your dog on someone other than your own private property, right, because we don't, next thing I know, we'll have 10 people here who let their dogs out in the backyard and think they have to pick it up. So if you're walking a dog on other than your own private property or owned property, then you must pick up after your dog. And then there's an escalating fine
scale.
Keep
it simple, yeah.
Keep
it
simple. I'll just keep it to the point.
Well, Greg's right. Cause
so you'll put together an ordinance?
Simple, yes.
Simple.
That's
simple.
Item number two I'm leaving with.
Okay.
A lot of people in town now have the electric.
You call it number two ordinance?
Which is nice.
Yeah,
okay, definitely no pun intended on that one.
Yeah, but you were right. We're like the New Hampshire of New Jersey here. Like, nobody wants.
I mean, I don't think anyone's going to go. You pass that, you might have a
rule here. I know.
I
was laughing in the middle of reading.
You can go right to the heart of the issue.
I
and
write,
as a practical matter, you're just going to get the
neighbors
taking pictures of
the
neighbors.
I do still have
or the Ring doorbell screenshot. That's ultimately going to catch people.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
We'll work on that.
This one is full of amigos.
You're only going to have to catch one person and put it in the bulletin.
No,
right?
Mine still works.
What,
I just don't have a dog right now.
People will be walking around with a bag, backpack of bags, showing they got it.
Feeling some
bored.
Yeah.
For next meeting.
Can you identify this resident?
Okay, we come to public comment at 8:31. I'll open the floor for public comment. What are you,
8:31?
Alan?
Do
you want to, come up? At least say either come up or... Identify yourself loudly.
People come up, okay, it's my house with dogs, and they usually pick up the stuff.
Yeah.
I think
I know
most
where this
people
happens. You ought to put teeth in it, like you suggested, a dollar amount.
Yeah.
Everybody's carrying a camera now.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a simple matter of you got to be nice to each other, and you should have to be helped along by being charged.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You rest. Anything? Okay. All right, we will close public portion at 8:32. Counselor, do we need an executive session?
No. No, we don't.
I move to adjourn.
All in favor? All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting's adjourned at 8:32.
Good Lord. Nice.